Now, on this Invest Talk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions and provides unbiased answers. Invest Talk, over 31 million downloads and counting.
I wanted to get your opinion on ticker symbol.
I just really like it as a long-term play.
Appreciate the show. Appreciate all the knowledge. Thanks, guys.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, November 5th, 2021. And here we are. Holidays are upon us here. And I love the holiday seasons. It's really fun. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, as you know. And that's what? Just 3 weeks from yesterday? Yeah. Now, almost everyone enjoys it, okay? We all like the food and having a day or two off from work and all those kinds of things. But holiday or not, you still have the same work in front of you about building your own portfolio and managing it. It doesn't stop because of holidays. What's nice about building a portfolio management, you don't have to look at it every minute, every day, and it's really not healthy even to do that. But you do have to pay attention. You got to work on it. But you don't, you know, I worry that people constantly look at it every day, and every move of a stock, they analyze, oh, gee, maybe I should get out. Maybe I should buy more, sell it, take profit, whatever. And that's really not a healthy way to look at a portfolio. You're building a portfolio for long term. Yeah, you have to watch it. You have to work on it, but you don't have to do it every day. You don't have to be compelled to do something. You don't. The hardest thing, and I think this makes women better investors than men, is you got to have patience, because I think women have a lot more patience than men. You got to have patience, you know, and it's hard sometimes. It really is hard. So on this program podcast, I always start with the same thing, mission statement, independent thinking, shared success, and that means I'm going to give you the facts. When you ask your questions, I look at my data, and I share with you that data and my knowledge of how to interpret the data. And I'll do it without any bias. I'll do it honestly. I'm Steve Peasley. I encourage you to contact me with your financial investment questions. Anything financial, we'll talk about. And when you do, you get to drive the show in the direction you want. And if you never call, you just get to listen. I don't know why you wouldn't call if you have a question. What's the harm? If you have a question, don't you want it answered? Call. We'll answer it. Anything financial. So I would love for you to call right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. And we're live right now. 888-99-CHART is the number. 888-99-CHART. You can call right now. It's 888-992-4278. So let's get right to the first question.
Hi, Stephen, Justin. My name is Matt, and I'm from Miami, Florida. I am 27 years old, and I recently left a company that I was contributing into a 401k for about 5 to 7 years of my employment. I would like to roll this 401k into a Roth IRA, but I've already contributed the max amount of $6,000 for my Roth IRA for the current tax year. I was just wondering if there are any rules and stipulations in terms of rolling this over or limitations. I read online that I was still able to roll it over, and there aren't any limitations, even if it was over the $6,000 limit. Thank you very much, and have a great day.
And the answer is yes. You can roll over a old 401k into an IRA or a Roth IRA. You can also roll over a regular IRA to a Roth IRA without any limitation. But there's always that big but there. You're going to have to pay income tax. You're going to have to pay income tax on that money. Now, I'm not an expert on taxes. I'm not an expert in this area. So check with your accountant. He's the expert, not me. Okay? But yes, you can roll it all over if you want to. Okay? My focus point today is going to be talk about Zillow. The Zillow shares plunged after been going down for some time, after the company exits its home buying business. This is an excellent lesson to learn. I've learned this lesson many times because I've made mistakes. But this is one of the reasons I did not like Zillow. But this is an excellent lesson to learn for all of us, you know, and we'll talk about it in detail, okay? Zillow. I even wrote about it in a market commentary because I thought it was a very important thing for us to learn. Jobs number came down for last month. We'll talk about that. I want to talk about California needs to rely on natural gas. It's fascinating. What California has been doing for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, now that we have real shortage of energy, they're moving to increase their supply of natural gas. And it makes no sense. You're going to ruin your economy, and I don't get that. But we'll talk about it. IRS has increased the limits for 2022 401ks and other tax advantage account plans. In other words, you can put more money in it next year. So we'll briefly talk about that. So that's what we're going to discuss. Now, the market had a really good day. The Dow was up 204 points, the NASDAQ up 32 points, and the S&P up 17. So it had a good day. And what's really interesting is, you know, what the market was up better than that during the day, so why did it not continue to be strong? Well, I thought it was pretty strong regardless of the facts that were out there that we can discuss later about why it didn't maintain its strength. But I also noticed, have you noticed the last 2 days, the movement of gold sharply increased? And I'm thinking, now gold has been kind of weak this year, right? I still have positions. I'm not giving up on that, my gold mining positions. But why did it move up sharply after the Fed announcement? Is there a relationship there? I think there might be. I think there is. I think the Fed is not worrying about inflation. And they said so. They're not really worried about inflation. But the market is worried about inflation. I think that's what's driving gold the last day or two. When the Fed said they're not worrying about it, the market said, well, let's push up gold because we're kind of worried about it a little bit. Okay, but that's interesting. You have a comment on that? I would love to hear it because I like theories and I pay attention to what people say and, you know, fold it into what I believe. And I'll tell you if I don't think you're right. I'll tell you if I think you're right too. So give me a call. 888-99-CHART is the number, 888-992-4278. You're listening to Invest Talk.
The time is getting closer. The free Invest Talk Wealth Webinar, Investing in an Inflationary World, Thursday, November 18th at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. It's free, but you have to register in advance. Go to investtalk.com, click on the register button. Now, Steve and Justin are taking your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Will in San Diego. Wants to talk about QuantumScape. Hi, Will.
Hey, hi, Steve. I heard you talk the other day about solid-state batteries.
Yes.
And I think there's probably a number of companies that are in this area.
There are.
But I looked at this ticker symbol QS, and I wondered what you thought of it.
Well, I've mentioned this before on the show that, you know, I don't like buying companies. You know my rules, right? You probably listen to the show.
Right.
I don't buy companies that don't make money. But I always reserve a little bit, say, you know, that doesn't mean I never do it. I never buy companies that don't make money, but I always do that with a little bit of my money, and I'm cautious about what I do. And I've been buying QuantumScape since it went public.
Wow. Well, that tells me something.
Yes, it should tell you something because they don't make money. They're not going to make money this year. They're not going to make money next year. They may go out of business. But QuantumScape has developed a solid-state battery that they say answers the questions of solid-state battery technology. And one of the reasons why it's been moving up the last couple of days is they sent out these test battery nodes of theirs for independent verification of what they say is true is true. And the results came back and they met all the standards that they said that they would make. So this is the one thing, one company that I think that I'm taking a shot at, but with just a little bit of my money. But I'll tell you this, I'm going to keep adding. This is not for clients. I don't add it for the client's account because this is too risky, super risky. But I'll tell you this, I will be buying more of this stock on the down days, on the when it gets. I think that they have $1.5 billion in cash. They're going to burn through that. And the question is, are they going to be able to come up with the technology they say they are? And I think they have a shot at it. That's why I'm investing in it. My personal assets. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Will, appreciate the question. Thank you. QuantumScape, QS, high risk, everybody. $13 billion company. No money. They don't even have any sales. They do have patents. Anyways, don't just jump into it. Make sure you understand what it is if you're going to do it. My focus point today concerns the story behind the headline, Zillow shares plunge after company exit home buying business. Okay, so they wanted to get into flipping business, what they wanted to do. Anyways, we're going to talk about that in detail. I think it's, I guess we're going to get to it now. Zillow decided, you know who Zillow is? They are the company that you puts a value on all the houses around the United States. I don't know, it could be the world. Okay, and they had a nice business. They were selling advertising. I use Zillow myself. But I noticed when I was using it that their prices were always off. They weren't off tremendously, but they're always off because, they can't adjust for certain things. But they decided that they were the experts in real estate. Now, there is a vast difference between putting prices on real estate values and people looking that up and going to their website and doing that, and then as opposed to actually buying real estate, being expertise in buying the real estate and flipping it or buying it to sell at a profit. Two separate kinds of businesses. Yes, are they related? Because it's about real estate. But as far as managing, this is an excellent, excellent message here. Excellent lesson for all of us. When a company starts to get away from their expertise, you have to be very skeptical about continuing to own that company. Now, what am I saying? They had no expertise in buying, selling real estate. They had none. The only expertise they had was putting value on properties, basing on previous sales or whatever, and selling advertising on their website for people that would come to look at that, the values of their properties, right? They didn't have any experts of buying and selling properties, and then they got into it in a big, huge way, and they lost hundreds of millions of dollars doing it, and now they're getting out. Because they didn't know what they were doing. They're trying to flip houses on a grandiose scale. You know how difficult that is? They didn't know anything about real estate. They really didn't know it. They didn't know that business. So when you own a company and they get into something that is not their area of expertise, you doesn't mean you sell it automatically, but you start to get very skeptical. Companies tend to do that. When they're successful at one thing, they think they can be successful at other things. And they're very often aren't, can't. If they buy other companies, if Zillow bought a real estate company that did that for a living, I would feel more comfortable with that rather than them trying to do it themselves. Because they would buy the experts that are doing it. And they can analyze whether that would work. So it's a very good lesson to learn. If you have a company trying to get into something that's totally out of their expertise, be very careful. It's InvestTalk Friday, and that means I'll soon be sharing highlights from the KPP Premium Newsletter. That's coming up soon. In the meantime, give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
No
two portfolios are alike, and every investor has a unique set of circumstances. So don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Dave from Minnesota. I just have a quick question about Anglic Eagle Mining and Kirkland Lakes Mining. I own both of these stocks, AEM and KL. And there's news that AEM has recently bought KL, but I own 4% of my portfolio in KL and I own 4% in AEM. I'm wondering if I should trim or sell one of these, if I should trim or sell both and then reinvest that into a different gold mining stock, or if I should just keep them both. I'll listen to your response on the podcast. Thank you.
That's an excellent question, because what, you know, the rule I have, as you know, is 3 to 5% of any one stock. And here you have two mining stocks that do the same thing and they're combining. So that gives you 8% of a particular stock instead of two stocks, 4 and 4. What I would do is I'd cut it back to 4% and buy another one, because you don't, the whole idea is to try to diversify to two different companies, that one may be successful, one might not. Both of them may be successful, but if you only have one and it's not successful, you know, I'm talking about diversification here. I'm talking about spreading your risk around. That's what I want you to do. And when they combine two companies you own, now you increase your risk because you're so concentrated in one company. So I'd cut it in half and buy another company. That's what I would do. Good question and good thought process. You know, to think that, wait a minute, maybe I need to do something about that. So appreciate the call, and I think that was a wise thing. So today we had our jobs report come out, and this is for October. There's 531,000 new jobs, which was more than expected, better than the ADP report. Remember, this ADP report that came out earlier was, you know, 500,000 jobs too, but that was private sector jobs, whereas this is private and government jobs. 531,000 reduced the jobless rate to 4.6%. And all that was better than expected. Okay, so also, if you saw, the increase in labor costs was in line with expectations. Okay, up 0.4%. Previously, the month before was up 0.6%. So that, think about inflation. Always have that in the back of your head. So investors looked at those numbers and say, great jobs report, and it didn't look like we're pushing the limits up on inflation in the salary. So, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why the market took off. At the same time, 0.4% increase is not low. That's on the higher end. So maybe that's why gold went up. As a hedge, buy gold, you know, as a hedge against that inflation. Because even though it's softened a little, it's still high. Always trying to figure out what's in people's minds, what's in the market's mind, what is going to affect what. Is the Fed going to come in? All the investors are worried about the Federal Reserve coming in to being stronger than what they said they were going to do. Now, they came in very light when from the statement they made this week, okay, which was in line with what we all expected, except in the inflation side, they were pretty dovish on the inflation statement, saying, well, we're not worried about it. Well, the investors, I think, are more worried about it than them, but they like the fact the Fed's not worried about it, because that tells them, well, they're not going to be in a big rush to increase interest rates, and that's not going to hurt the economy, and therefore, you know, maybe the, you know, earnings were very good this last earnings report. Maybe we should be pushing stock prices up. It's always trying to figure out what's going to happen. And see, and one of the things in the language of the stock market is you always got to read, you got to look forward and try to understand what's affecting the market, because everybody else is looking forward. So you have to think about that. Okay, let's squeeze in another caller question. This came in earlier from Idaho.
Hi, this is Van from Northern Idaho. The question I have is on Gladstone Land Corp. I bought this at about 15. I bought it because I'd heard that people like Bill Gates were owning farmland, and it was one of the two REITs for farmland. It does specialty crops, and I want to see what you guys think about keeping it as a long-term holding, because the dividend's gone down quite a bit as the price has gone up. Thank you very much. Love your show. Bye-bye.
So this is a commodity play, raw land, farmland. As a REIT that owns 137 farms leased to 81 separate corporate and independent farmer tenants in Arizona, California, Florida, Michigan, and Nebraska. Okay, it's a $803 million company, so it's not huge. Sales increased in the most recent quarter, 34%. The sales have been increasing for 2 years every quarter consistently. Earnings are going to be 73 cents a share next year, up 18%. It's a $25 stock. So it's not cheap. It's on the expensive side. If I owned it, I'd probably take some profits off the table if it's gotten bigger than I'm comfortable with, because it's expensive now. Return equity is only 1%. The dividend is only 2.1%. So it's not like it's a huge dividend that I could rely on either. So I probably, I mean, it was up 15, 16% this week. So I think I'd take some profits myself, personally. I would still own it. I just would not let it get too much of my profit. This is Invest Talk, and I'm Steve Peasley. So we're here today. Why am I doing this podcast? Well, I know everybody needs information. They need strategies, and I want to help. So let's do that. 888-99-CHART is my number. Give me a call.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
Just kind of wondering if this stock is a value trap.
Now is a good time to call Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART.
Let's say you've been thinking about learning a new language. Okay, why? I mean, how would it come in handy? And where would you want to use it? Could it be that you have an upcoming international trip? Or maybe you want to connect with family members or friends from a different culture? I think you should know about Rosetta Stone. With millions of users, it's been the world's most trusted language learning program for 30 years. Rosetta Stone is available on your desktop or as an app with audio companion and the ability to download lessons offline. Rosetta Stone truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. It has a built-in, patented speech recognition engine called True Accent. So as you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you pronounce words. With Rosetta Stone, you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's an intuitive process designed for long-term retention. You really learn to speak, listen, and think in your new language. Rosetta Stone is an amazing value, so your special skill set is within easy reach. You know you want to do this, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, InvestTalk listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off now at rosettastone.com/today. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It is official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
The markets react to uncertainty. Are you prepared? Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Your financial future depends on the answers to those questions. Steve Peasley is here now, and he's ready to talk with you. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Steve, this is Adam from Texas. Again, I'm calling today about ticker symbol MDC, Mike Delta Charlie. I know the home building has kind of slowed down a little bit, but I'm wondering with the moratorium lifted, if that will increase the demand for housing in the market. But if you could let me know what you all consider a fair value for this, if it's a good one to buy right now, I appreciate it. Thanks. Love the show.
Okay, MDC, it's out of Denver, Colorado. Build single-family detached homes for first-time and first-time move-up home buyers. Okay, so that's what they do. They're going to make $8.27 a share this year, $9.76 a share next year, and it's a $51 stock. So you would sell. You probably would say, oh, that's cheap. Well, the five-year range, PE range, is 4 to 16. So home builders don't usually have high ranges, okay? They don't. Return equity is very good at 19%. Looking at the fundamentals of the company, 23% owned by the management, you would say, man, that's a pretty good company. Sales have been up every quarter for the last four quarters. But you have to take step back a little bit and look at it from a point of view of how's the house market going to be? Because remember, we're all looking forward, and this stock has peaked. It peaked around 60 in the mid 60s, and has fallen about the last couple of months. The home market, single-family home sales market has peaked. We talked about that. Peaked a couple 3 months ago. Okay, now it's on the downward slide. But the numbers are still coming in very good for these home builders. So the question is do you think the numbers are going to start to slide? Most, I think, experts believe so, and that's why the stock price is slowing down for a lot of these guys. So is it cheap? Yeah, it's pretty cheap. They're going to be able to pay their 3.9% dividend? I think they will. But I think the days of moving up sharply are done. Because I think earnings are going to start to slow down. Not this year. And maybe not even next year, but the year after. So we're all looking forward. So it might have another run in it, but I would stay away from it. I'd stay away from it. The KPP Premium Newsletter was finished today, and it will be distributed to subscribers tomorrow morning. And I always give you a little hint of what's in it. The market conditions section, the first section of the newsletter, I stated, for investors, the most highly anticipated event this week was the public expression of Federal Chairman comments following their meeting, the Fed meeting. Chairman Powell's statement was in line with expectations. This means that the Fed will start reducing their bond buying activities by about $10 to $15 billion a month, beginning in November this month. That's just a small start to the process of tightening money supply in the United States. So we are now on the tightening money supply. Tightening supply, not loosening anymore. That's going to be a very slow process. I mentioned that. After the Fed stops buying bonds and mortgages, it will then start bumping up interest rates. From Powell's comments wherein he spoke about the Fed's lack of concern over inflation, we can deduce that the money tightening process is likely going to be very slow. We might get our first interest rate increase in the last part of next year. Some Fed watchers think that that won't happen until 2023. Regardless, the market saw Powell's statement as one of dovishness, and stock prices rose. Okay. ISM, I mentioned the various statistics. ISM number came out, factory orders came out, jobless claims came out, the weekly job. So I mentioned, talked about those things. Third quarter productivity fell sharply by 5% from a rise of 2.4%. Productivity fell 5%. Why? Because wages for the quarter were up, driving down productivity. Wage inflation. That was a quarter look at the wage inflation the last 3 months. The most recent one was, remember, I just told you. Up 0.4%, down from 0.6% the month before. Right? You know, it's always fun to analyze all these statistics. I enjoy it. Okay, portfolio management section. I explained that many investors run into trouble with their retail sector holdings because retail competition is extremely fierce. Additionally, styles are always shifting, so earnings are often fickle. Evaluating the retail sector is difficult because many retailers have a variety of fashion lines or product offerings that constantly change from season to season. Who knows what's going to be fashionable and what's not? It's difficult. Bottom line, you got to be careful of the returns, okay? You need to concentrate on your analysis on four key metrics when you're looking at retail. And I went over to each metrics. Return on capital, return on assets, you know, key metrics, okay? And a stock section, two ETFs this week. Two ETFs, exchange-traded funds. One seeking the investment results that before expenses correspond to the price and yield performance of publicly traded equity securities of companies in the energy select sector. The other one was an ETF, long-term capital growth in real inflation-adjusted terms. The fund is an actively managed ETF. There's not too many actively managed ETFs out there. They're mostly passively managed. They're in sectors or follow a index. Of course, I name names in the newsletter, right? There's a lot of valuable information in the KPP Premium Newsletter each week. It is easy to subscribe. You can do it directly through investtalk.com, and after subscribing, you'll get the full report every Saturday morning directly in your inbox. Now, if this information raises questions in your mind, I encourage you to reach out just to Justin or I at KPP Financial. You can call our Irvine, California office or send us a message through the investtalk.com website. Okay, let's keep the momentum going. I am going to pivot back to an InvestTalk voice bank question, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys. Love the show. This is David from Minneapolis. And I just started investing this year and doing it through index funds. I'm getting kind of a late start. I'm 37. And there's a lot out there about diversifying the funds, maybe one that tracks the S&P, getting an international ETF or dividend ETF or bond. But I'm curious if there's any value, especially if you're getting a bit of a later start, into finding one that you believe in, like SPY or QQQ or something that tracks S&P, and just plowing as much money as possible into one fund to get that principal as high as possible, as fast as possible. Is there any value in that? What would you say to a beginner who's using index funds as the primary strategy? Would you say get three or four funds, diversify, or would you say plowing into one that you believe in to get the principal up as high as you can, as fast as you can. Just curious if you have any thoughts. Thanks so much.
Yeah, investing in an index, remember, index fund, remember, it's already diversified. So if you invest in an S&P 500, that's 500 companies you're buying. You can concentrate on that. There's nothing wrong with it. You can put all your money in that fund. When people talk about diversification, well, if those 500 companies, there's growth companies, there are blue chip companies, there's mining companies, and many of those companies make money from outside the United States, so you are getting some foreign exposure. So there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. As you become more knowledgeable and understand how markets work, you'll probably say, well, gee, I'm going to diversify a little bit. Maybe I'll go into a fund that concentrates on dividend paying stocks or concentrate on an ETF that just in the tech sector, because I want a little bit more exposure over there. But that only comes with knowledge, you know, that you have to garner over time. If you don't want to, you don't have to. You can just buy the major index funds. You'll be fine. No problem. I mean, do you realize, everybody out there listening to this show, do you realize the indexing beats managed funds, managed people like me pretty consistently? You can just do indexing. You don't have to hire anybody if you don't want to. Don't. Now, if you want to take less risk in the market, or you want to do something a little bit different, that's when you start hiring people. Okay? You want to manage the risks of your portfolio and of what the money you have. Yeah, you may need help with that. Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have a lot of choices, like in their 401ks. You may need some guidance there. There's all kinds of ways you need guidance, and that's what we in the business do. The problem with hiring a manager is you have to make sure you get the right one for you. And how they make money is extremely important, because you don't want one who just sells you things that makes them lots of money. Annuity is a prime example. Annuity commissions on annuity for the person who sells you annuity is very high. They love that. Insurance products pay high commissions to the salesperson. So just be very careful. Okay, almost every podcast I take a minute or two to talk about us, KPP Financial, of Irvine, California. Justin and I own the company. We talk about parallel investing, meaning we buy the same things for ourselves and our own portfolios as we do for our clients at the same time, same percentages, so that we have the same performance. We stay with that. We call it parallel investing. We try to provide them. We try to provide guidance to our clients, and it's always unbiased. We don't pay for any information. We pay for data, but we don't pay for somebody else's opinions of that data. If you want us to take a look at your portfolio, free portfolio review. We do that. You just send us a message through investtalk.com. We'll do that. Send us an email. Ask the questions. You can call our offices. It's easy. We want to help you. We will help you, and we want to. It doesn't have to become a client. You don't have to. And on Fridays, I generally give you a quick rundown on the benchmark numbers. 2-year treasury was at 0.4%, 0.4. It was 0.475 last week, a little higher the week before. 10-year treasury, 1.46. Last week was 1.54. That's telling you the spread between the 2 and 10-year is squeezing a little bit. It's not in any danger of signaling a recession, but it's no longer expanding. It's squeezing. Okay, just so you know. Gold price, $1,808 an ounce. Last week it was $1,782. Silver, $24.02. Last week was $23.87. Oil was selling at $81 a barrel. Last week was $83. Come down a little bit. And the national average of gasoline down to $3.42, or up $3.42. Last week was $3.40, up a couple pennies. California, it's always the highest there, $4.62. Why is it highest here? It shouldn't be. It's all about politics here in California. They're really trying to ring the driver, different ways. High taxes for gas. So it's 462 this week. It was 458 last week. 3 weeks ago is 446 a gallon. We're paying $5 a gallon for premium. And, you know, if Mississippi gas, Mississippi, $3.10. Yeah. Always irritates me when I talk about how much costly, more costly gas is here in California. And when it could be, it's just as low as any place else, but it's about politics. It's nothing more than that. Nothing more. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. You know, we talked about the statistics that came out, and we talked, not that I'm beating up on California, I live in California, as you know, but, you know, we have very poor policies here. We've been trying to get rid of or cut down our natural gas. We're trying to have a less footprint out there for carbon, right? But natural gas is a pretty clean energy source, and California has been trying to restrict it. They don't allow any more pipelines to be built, and they were trying to shut down. There's a Aliso Viejo storage facility, and they all of a sudden now that they find out that we are really short on energy this week, they decided to change their mind about the natural gas. But only temporarily, because the supplies are so low, okay, and prices are so high. Because you're squeezing, demand is going up, but you're squeezing supply. Of course prices are going to be so high. Your actions squeeze supply. If you don't have enough pipelines to bring in enough gas, because the demand is going up, and you want natural gas for one reason besides heating homes, also to generate electricity. We are going to need a lot more electricity if we want electric vehicles. And now you're driving up because you don't want the supply of natural gas. You won't allow any more. You only want wind and solar, which is fine, but it's very expensive. So what we're going to do is drive up the cost to run our electric cars, not be able to charge them to such an extent that they're going to be just as expensive as running electric cars, gasoline cars at some point. Because of, you know, the actions. Just you got to produce electricity somehow. And 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. Give me a call.
This is InvestTalk. For serious investors, it's all about achieving financial freedom. That's why the unbiased guidance offered by Steve and Justin is so valuable. The InvestTalk Anytime listener lines are open now, and Steve and Justin welcome your questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Pete from Staten Island, New York. I had a question regarding the company Wesco, ticker symbol WCC. Kind of like with their position for nuclear power, especially with the favor of nuclear power coming into play. It's a little overbought, it seems like. Its chart for this year is insane. Just wondering where you think I should pick this up, or if you think I should pick it up. Thanks. Bye.
No, I like it. Wesco International Company. It is a $6.8 billion company, dollars worth. Distributes industrial, electrical, construction, maintenance, repair, and operating supplies. It's going to make $8.92 this year, 73% increase from last year, and another 15% increase next year, $10.24. And it's a $136 stock. So you're talking about a PE of what? About 13, 14 based on next year's earnings? And the PE range is 3 to 20. These industrial companies don't ever carry high PE ranges. But sales growth is doing well, up 14% the most recent quarter. I agree with you. I think it's a little extended. I'd probably see if I can get it on a pullback. If it pulled back to the 121, 22 area, 120 to 122 from 136, that would be ideal to me. But I would not chase the performance at this point. Symbol is WCC, everybody, Wesco International. You know, another commodity type play stock. Okay. 888-99-CHART, You know, the IRS next year is increasing your limit to contribute to your 401k and your IRA. Okay? 401k is going for 2022. It's going from 20,500 going to 20,500 from 19,500 this year, up $1,000. Okay? Also, your IRA limits are going contributions based on your salary. In other words, you know, if you make X amount of money, you can't contribute to your IRA. Well, the salary limits are going to increase between $5,000 and $10,000. So that's good news if you've been stopped because you make too much money and you couldn't contribute to your IRA. Now, these changes are all from the IRS, and you need to talk with your accountant to make sure that you don't make a mistake on your contributions. Don't just listen to me. Check with your accountant. But they are changing for 2022. So pay attention because it's going to impact your taxes. And you need to think about your taxes this year. This year, if you have capital gains, you took realized capital gains in your stocks accounts, on your non-retirement stock account. See if there's any unrealized capital losses you can take to offset those capital gains. You start to think about it now here in November. Don't wait till December 31st. Don't wait till the very last week of the, because you'll be busy. Think about it now. Okay, so tax season is upon us. The year-end stuff, you got to contribute to your 401k. You know, you got to do it this year. IRAs, you can actually put money in next year for the last year, for this year. So you're not so pressed there. But think about it. Think about what you need to do, everybody. IRS is changing the rules in to help us. Okay, the market was up today, 204 points on the Dow, 32 points on the NASDAQ, and 17 points on the S&P. Looks like gold has had a couple of very good days, but until they break over the 2,000 mark, yeah, I'm not going to get too excited about it, okay? So we'll see if that happens. And let's see, next week they don't have a lot of economic numbers. Remember, holiday season's coming. I wrote in the newsletter about shopping. If you're out there shopping for this holiday season, there's going to be a hard time finding certain high-tech items. So if you're going to buy those things, you might not wait till the last minute. You got to probably do it now. So think about that. You know, holiday shopping, you do it earlier. You really should. I'm Steve Peasley, and that completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein, I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family about us, about the free podcast downloads. We would appreciate that. You can get your free downloads anytime, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and be sure to review us and rate us if you do download on iTunes. I appreciate that. Independent thinking, share success. This is InvestTalk, everybody. Enjoy your evening.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.